It is a tremendous blessing when God chooses to call a human being. He chooses somebody. He begins to teach them. He begins to educate them. He begins to help them see who He is, who Jesus Christ is, the purpose of life, the purpose of a human being, why we are breathing, why we have been called. And so many things begin to be taught to that individual. When God calls us, He begins to teach us what we call His way of life. We've been going a different way up until this calling occurs, in most people's case. We describe this as being taught the truth. The Bible talks about the truth. It talks about that teaching in different ways, and it comes from God. The Bible describes also this teaching as doctrine. That's a word that's not as common in today's vocabulary. Some may ask, what is doctrine? Jesus' teachings form the foundation of the doctrine of the early church. We can read that. True doctrine comes directly from God the Father through Jesus Christ, and before He became Jesus Christ, He inspired many in the Old Testament to write down the scriptures. He came as a human being to deliver this doctrine from God the Father in person, as a human being. And He taught the disciples, who later became the apostles. And from then, it's been handed down generation after generation. It's come down to you and me. This doctrine that God the Father began to have Jesus Christ and the Word to give to human beings. God has recorded the Bible. It's the unequaled authority of God. It's God's Word. We know that. It is inspired. It was inspired by the Word for those men to write down things in the Old Testament. It was inspired for the men to write down things in the New Testament. And this teaching, this doctrine, was handed down all the way to now for us. Biblical doctrine does not change over time. It's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth will always be the truth. God's doctrine will always be true. The difference is, as us as human beings, we begin to understand it in more detail as time goes on. We begin to put more pieces of the puzzle together as time goes on. God has provided for the church this doctrine as a solid foundation for each and every one of us to build upon. God has provided a sound doctrine as a foundation in our beliefs to develop a conviction. There must be a conviction occur within us if we're willing to give our life for something. You have to be convicted in something for that to occur. In a short definition of doctrine, you can simply say it is the teachings of God delivered to human beings. God's doctrine is the teachings of God delivered to human beings. Today I would like to focus our attention on God's doctrine that has been delivered to all of us. It was delivered to those in the first era of God's church. It was delivered back in the Old Testament. Christ brought more detail as He came in person. We're going to see the importance of this doctrine. And I know we all know it, but as a refresher, to focus on it so that we are focused in a proper manner. We will see the importance that we are to live our life by this doctrine. And that's where conviction comes into play. That's where being serious about this comes into play. So the title for this message is simply The Importance of Doctrine. The Importance of Doctrine. If you look at a worldly dictionary and look up the word doctrine to see what its meaning would be in a worldly dictionary, the most common definition would be a particular principle taught or advocated. So doctrine, in a broad sense, could be any teaching or any belief taught by anyone. The true term of that word, doctrine. What is important to all of us is to determine what is the biblical definition of how God uses this word, doctrine. In the New Testament, the Greek word didache is how I'll pronounce it. I don't think we have any Greek scholars in here. It's spelled D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache. It's a Greek word. It means the act of teaching. And it's used in different places within the Bible. What we want to truly focus on and when learning, being taught, is what God's doctrine is within the Bible. We're going to see that there is false doctrine. There are teachings of people, could be us, with our own opinions, and we begin to teach something different. That becomes your doctrine. That becomes my doctrine when that occurs. And the Bible talks about that type of doctrine within the Bible. Let's go to begin by going to Mark chapter 4. I'd like to see, show you some scriptures where this Greek word didache is used. I'd like to begin in Mark chapter 4. And we're just going to read one verse here. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, it says, "Then he, Jesus, taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, and he began to teach." This word teaching here is the word didache. You're going to see throughout the Bible of God's doctrine of this didache, it's translated doctrine in some places. It's translated teaching in some places. And here it was translated teaching. So in the Bible, doctrine is the teachings of the Word of the Old Testament, of Jesus Christ delivering to us from the Father in the New Testament to the church. So let's begin to look at some of these scriptures describing this doctrine more further here. Let's go to 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And we're going to see some very specific instruction here that has to do with the Father and Jesus Christ. 2 John, and let's begin reading here in verse 9. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ," or the teaching of Christ, "does not have God." We will read in other places, and there's a lot of other scriptures that we won't read, where Christ said that he was here to deliver the Father's words to them, the Father's doctrine, the Father's teaching. So here it's called the teaching of Christ, but he was simply passing on the Father's teaching. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide or does not follow the teaching of Christ does not have God." Very serious. "He who abides in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ has both the Father and the Son." And he goes on, even more serious statement here in verse 10, where he says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring or teach this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. In other words, he's saying you shouldn't allow someone to teach you if they're not bringing this doctrine. We know we mix with people in the world all the time that doesn't have God's doctrine, but I think this is saying we should not allow someone to teach us. Don't invite someone into your house to teach you that's not bringing God's doctrine. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Another place where this didache is being used. This Greek word that's translated teaching and doctrine in different parts of the Bible. Mark 11. And let's begin reading here in verse 17. It says, "Then he, Christ, taught, saying to them, 'Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves?'" They were coming into the temple doing things that was not supposed to be done. Verse 18, "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy Jesus, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching," or at his didache, this teaching, this truth that he was to pass on from the Father. Let's go to John chapter 18. Just a few scriptures here showing how this Greek word is being used. John chapter 18, and let's read here in verse 19. It says, "The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine." Why would he say it in that manner? Because what Christ was teaching during that day was different. He wasn't saying things that the normal people were hearing at that time. It was different. We can also turn to scriptures where the apostles were teaching Christ's doctrine. So we see where the Father gave it to Christ to deliver to human beings. He taught disciples. He developed apostles in the New Testament. Now we're going to see the apostles begin to teach this same doctrine. It's not their doctrine, it's God's doctrine. Let's read it here in Acts chapter 2. Same area of when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Peter was giving that sermon. Some were heard that sermon, repented, asked, "What can we do?" He says, "You need to be baptized, you need to repent," and so forth. Then we begin down here in verse 40. Acts 2, beginning in verse 40. It says, "And with many other words, he testified," Peter testified, "and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation." So he's sitting there teaching the masses, let's call it. Verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." The apostles' teaching, the apostles' didache, as they were passing it on as Christ taught them. And it talks about then the fellowship and the breaking of bread. So we see here that we see the path of how the doctrine can come down to us generation after generation after what God does with certain people. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 over just a couple of pages. Acts chapter 5, we know that there were the apostles teaching God's doctrine. They were told not to. They were thrown into prison. Angels came there, removed the locks, and they came out. Let's begin here in verse 24. It says, "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things," heard that these men were out of prison, and they were teaching God's doctrine again, "these this high priest and the captain of the temple began to wonder what outcome this would be. Then one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, the apostles, they sat them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name, in Jesus' name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your didache, this teaching, this doctrine that comes from God. You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us," bring Jesus' blood on them. Of course, they were worried about what was going to occur to them. Verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" So here we see another example where servants of God now is beginning to teach this doctrine, even being put into prison. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to introduce a little different use of this word didache here. Here Christ introduces and talks about a different doctrine, a doctrine that's not coming from the Father. Here Christ was teaching and warning the disciples about false doctrine. Let's read it here. Matthew 16 and beginning in verse 6. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.'" It's because we didn't bring any physical bread here, is what he's talking about, this leaven of the Pharisees. Verse 8, "But when Jesus perceived what they were saying and talking about, he said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread, no physical bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up?" I'm not talking about physical bread. I can easily create physical bread here. I'm warning you and trying to teach you about something different that's important for you to know. Verse 11, "How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning physical bread, but you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, of physical bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This word doctrine here is didache. Here Christ was using this same word as a teaching that is coming from the Pharisees and the Sadducees that was wrong, different, was not coming from God. Now let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, here Jesus was directly teaching about the difference here of God's doctrine and false doctrine. Let's read what Jesus has to say here. John 7, beginning in verse 14. John 7, verse 14. It says, "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." He was teaching. "And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?'" He hasn't studied with us worldly men in any organized manner. How does he know all these things? Verse 16, "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. In other words, it was the Father's. Verse 17. If anyone wants to do his will, God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So he's saying here, he's beginning to point out the difference. Is this doctrine coming from God the Father, or am I going off on my own opinion, my own doctrine, and teaching something different? He's saying you need to look at that. You need to be able to discern it. Verse 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So we see here, he introduces this false doctrine. And he's saying here to his disciples, he's saying to us, we need to be able to tell the difference. Let's now look at a very clear instruction from the Apostle Paul. We're going to go to Timothy. This was an older, experienced minister that had been beaten for teaching God's doctrine. He was thrown in prison. He was left for dead so many times. Here he was instructing Timothy about this doctrine. Here an older minister, at the end of his life, was trying to help Timothy, push Timothy, exhort Timothy, lead Timothy in a right and proper manner. Paul recognized the potential danger of doctrinal corruption and instructed Timothy to guard it and to guard against it. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures throughout 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy because it's very important to understand what Paul was trying to get across to Timothy regarding this subject of doctrine, because it's written down for us today. We are to be learning the same thing. We already had to face an organization with false doctrine. We had to leave. So we have a little bit of experience with that already. 1 Timothy 4, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Keep in mind, this is Paul writing to Timothy. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. He says, don't be surprised that somebody sitting next to you in our congregation would depart from the faith. We've already seen it in our lifetime, in the original organization that a lot of us have began with. We were sitting right there with them, but then they departed. They departed from the faith. They're giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Not doctrines of God, but doctrines of Satan, doctrines of demons. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received. He must have been talking about spiritual food that God had created for them to have. By those who believe and know the truth. That's us. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified or set apart by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren, Timothy, in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, the good teaching that comes from the Father, which you have carefully followed. So here Paul is saying, pointing out, there's some that's going astray, false doctrine. Make sure you are staying sound, strong with God's doctrine. Let's go down to verse 13. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. It says, till I come, give attention to reading. Give attention to exhortation. Exhort the brethren. Give attention to doctrine, to teaching. Here, this senior minister is telling him, this is important, Timothy, for you to put forth this effort. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, God's teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. All of us are not ministers. Some have been selected to be ministers. Some teach in different ways. All of us that have kids have a responsibility to teach God's doctrine to the next generation. All of us in the congregation can help with the children, the teens, the young adults, in helping them learn this good doctrine. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, one verse here in verse 17. Here, Paul is saying to Timothy, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. They should be respected, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, especially those who are staying faithful to the word and God's doctrine, God's teaching. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise, Timothy, what's he saying? If anyone's teaching false doctrine that does not been handed down from the Father to Christ, from Christ to the apostles, from the apostles to Timothy, if anyone teaches otherwise, teaches false doctrine, and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So he's saying here, if someone comes and teaches something else, does not submit to God's doctrine, then he begins to teach Timothy, he's teaching us. Verse 4, he says, this individual will be proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Paul says, Timothy, from such people, withdraw yourself. Remove yourself from this. All of us in the original organization that we were in, we were faced with this. False doctrine was being taught. Those of us who have left followed this instruction. We had to withdraw ourselves. That's what the Bible told us to do. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's begin reading here in verse 3. It says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Timothy, I'm praying for you. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Thankfully, the grandmother Lois and her mother Eunice did their job, did their role. He taught Timothy God's doctrine, God's teaching. Now Timothy is following suit. Verse 6, therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul must have been the one that baptized Timothy and laid hands on him. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, not to be scared, not to pull back, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul's a senior minister telling the younger minister, he's telling each one of us sitting here in this room today, don't be ashamed of this good doctrine that come from the Father, and now it's being through a testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. He's saying, Timothy, I've been beaten, been thrown in prison for teaching this good doctrine. Please follow me. You need to follow me. He says, you need to also have these sufferings for this gospel, for this preaching of God's truth. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. At a person's calling, brethren, how thankful, as Mr. Indelicato was saying, how thankful are we for that calling, for this truth, for this good doctrine, for this good teaching that come from the Father and it's come down all these years to us. And his own purpose and grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I, Paul, was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Keep in mind, this is an older man that's about to die, was pouring himself out trying to exhort Timothy, exhort the next generation, pushing him to be faithful, helping him to see the importance of it. He continues down in verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Value that information. Value that truth, that doctrine that has been given. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It wasn't to stop with Timothy. It wasn't to stop with Christ or any of the apostles or Timothy. Timothy was instructed, you find faithful men of the next generation, teach them so that they can teach others, teach their children, carry this good doctrine forward. Over to verse 7. Consider what I say, Timothy, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, according to my teaching. Verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, being thrown in prison. But the word of God is not chained. You're not going to stop it. It's got to keep moving forward. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the brethren, that they also, all the brethren also, may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. His focus help the next generation. Keep teaching this truth. Live it. Be an example. Going down to verse 14, Paul says, remind them of these things, charging them or exhorting them earnestly before the eternal not to strive about words. Don't argue about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, those who will be listening to the argument. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Properly focused on God's doctrine, applying it into your life. Conviction in this way. Conviction in this belief, in this doctrine that has been given to him. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. He's talking to us, brethren. Look at the stressful times in which we're living, the perilous times in which we're living. For men will be lovers of themselves. It's everywhere. Lovers of money. There's boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They're slanderers, without self-control. They're brutal, they're despisers of good. They're traitors, they're headstrong and haughty. And then he says this, they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He's basically saying, Timothy, you need to be a lover of God. He's telling all of us. We can't intermix with the descriptions in verses 1 through 4. We've got to withdraw ourselves from that and be a lover of God at the end of verse 4. Then in verse 5, having a form of godliness this world has, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Don't intermix with that. That's not where we need to be focused on. Over to verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. I think we should place our name there where it says you to make it personal. He says, but you, Mike Buchanan, you place your name there, have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, his love, his perseverance, his persecutions, his afflictions. We're able to read about Paul's life in the Bible. We can see what he did, what happened to him in Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions that he endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He made sure he let Timothy know that. He made sure he let all of us know that. No matter the persecution, no matter what we're faced, Paul says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We must be prepared for it. Paul was trying to prepare Timothy for it. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. From here forward, I feel it's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. When we see the false prophet come on the world scene, masterful deception is going to be everywhere. Verse 14, but as for you, Timothy, as for you, Mike Buchanan, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. These Holy Scriptures that were inspired by the Word to human beings in the Old Testament. He became a human being and he inspired the words for the human beings to write down in the New Testament. He says, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. God's teaching, God's doctrine. He tells us what's right. He tells us what's wrong. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We read this often, and I hope we continue to read it often. It is so important that we get our noses in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We're to use this to teach God's doctrine. It's for reproof. As we read the Scriptures, the Bible will convict us of a wrong. Have you ever done that? Where you're reading something and it just hits you right between the eyes? You're being reproofed. Under that situation, you're being convicted. Then the next step, it says it's for correction. After we're convicted, the Bible, the Scriptures also have the information in there to help us be corrected, to come back around to where we need to be. It's for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now for the final Scriptures, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Right at the end of Paul's life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I charge you, Timothy, I charge you, Mike Buchanan, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Christ will return. They will set up his kingdom and we will be judged. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince people of God's truth. Rebuke those who are going false. Exhort, push, help people to keep moving forward with all long-suffering and patience and teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, their own teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. And be turned aside to fables. Fabricated teaching is what fables mean. They turn aside to fabricated teachings, fabricated doctrines. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Let's stop there for a second. Paul needs to be patted on the back. Here's an old man. He could have sat down and take it easy. What is he doing? He's pushing the next generation. He's teaching the next generation. He's helping that doctrine to be pushed forward and show the importance of it. Tremendous example by Paul. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. and not to me only, but to also, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That includes us. Includes all those generations from Timothy to us. He says, not only to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here we see the Apostle Paul at the end of his life striving to push and exhort and encourage this younger minister Timothy to continue on, being faithful to the Father's doctrine, teach it to the next generation, be a good example. Here we can read a warning that there will be those who go contrary to God's doctrine. Extremely important for us to be able to discern the difference, what's true and what is false. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, here God warns us to live by God's doctrines always. God always teaches. He always gives us warnings. He says, this is what I expect, but if you don't, this is what's going to happen. He's very clear with his teaching and his approach to all of us. Matthew 7 and verse 21, this is a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who will enter the kingdom of heaven, he says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He says, the person who does the Father's will be in the kingdom. Verse 22, many, though, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name with my own doctrine? I was lifting myself up. I was going contrary, this person he's talking about. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Weren't we holding to what you wanted us to do? What's Jesus say in verse 23? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Why? Why? What did those people do that they did not, that Christ would not know them? He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When someone practices something, it is a way of life. A way of life of lawlessness. Lawlessness is the opposite of God. These individuals were not staying faithful to the Father's doctrine, is what Jesus was saying. He went even further to explain in verse 24 to make sure the disciples understood what he was saying. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these teachings of mine, my doctrine, and does them, submits to it, follows it, convicted in your heart with it, I will liken that individual to him, to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came. All of us are going to face trials. That's the rain, the floods, the winds. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, on that faithful individual. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. They were convicted in God's doctrine. It was important to that individual to follow the sayings of Jesus Christ up in verse 24. But he says the contrary, verse 26. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them makes it very clear for all of us to learn. If you don't follow his instruction, you'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And obviously, when the trials come, you fall. You can't make it. The Bible is an instruction manual filled with God's doctrine, with God's teachings, his rules, his code of conduct. It's for our own good. It's the way of love. It's the way of give. It's where joy and peace and all those beautiful adjectives rest. If we follow God, we can have good and a peaceful future. It's very important that we as individuals now search and study the scriptures to submit to God's doctrine. We must know the difference between God's doctrine and false. Submitting to God's doctrine, rejecting, pushing away the other. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Sometimes we try to even put one foot in the way of God on the rock and one foot on the sand. Well, guess what? That makes for a very unstable foundation, a very unstable life we will have. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, here's another servant of God, old. He wasn't allowed, this is Moses, not allowed to go into the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy was him refreshing all of the teachings to the ancient Israelites before they were to leave him. Went over all of it with them again. I want to read Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. Here Moses was saying, "And you shall remember that the Eternal, your God, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." He did that to the ancient Israelites. How important is it to God to know where we stand? He wants to know whether we're humble. He's testing us. He wants to know where our heart is, our conviction, our belief, whether you would keep his commandment or not. He's looking at each one of us now. Where do I stand in that judge as being judged? He was saying that to the ancient Israelites. Verse 3. So what happened then? So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. Not the physical. Nothing in the physical matters. It's temporary. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal. God's doctrine. God's teaching. Moses said that's what is important. God is teaching us that nothing in this physical is important. This world and all that is in there. He says withdraw from it. Don't be a part of it. God is making it extremely clear that we are to submit and live our life only by the instructions of God, his doctrine. And we are to pass it down to the next generation. Every opportunity we have. Up here, in private conversations with your children, teaching, pushing, helping the next generation move forward. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, verse 21, it says, prove all things. Hold fast what is good. We're being told that we are to prove all things. We must prove what is God's doctrine. It must be in our heart, in our conviction, in the way of life that we live. We must prove every doctrine, every teaching, and all the different aspects that God gives us. Proving God's doctrine establishes your obedience to the truth. You know what is right and wrong. Then it becomes whether we will obey and submit. We must take the time to go through all the details of God's doctrine so that we prove it, that we know what we believe. Over time, these teachings will become part of us, and it will strengthen us spiritually. Let's go to John chapter 8. Here we're going to read, if we believe God's teachings and apply it in our life, then, and only then, we will become Christ's disciples, Christ's students, trying to submit and be like our hero, be like our teacher, be like Jesus Christ as he lived his life in this on this earth. John 8, beginning in verse 30, as Jesus spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, hopefully that's us, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This truth, this doctrine that comes from the Father, these teachings that come from the Father, as we submit and abide in it, convicted in it, we can enter the kingdom of God and have salvation. We are God's children if we believe and obey God's doctrine. It's very important to prove God's teachings. We must know what is true and what is false. The modern day churches of today, our original organization, CAGWA today, has spelled out in fundamental beliefs some of these core beliefs in God's doctrine that we need to know, we need to prove is to be true. So we're convicted in it. And I would encourage you to look up and prove in detail these 20 foundational beliefs that CAGWA lists. You know, who God is. What's his purpose? Why are we born? Why is all of this? Where's the angelic realm? And how do they fit in? We need to know in depth all of these important teachings that God gives to us. Let's go back now to 2 John chapter 1 for a final scripture. We read this already. I want to read it again. It's extremely important. 2 John, and we're going to read here in verse 9 again. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Brethren, we live in a society today. You don't hear about God's doctrine. What do we hear? Oh, about people's feelings. You know, this guy's feelings. You can't say that because you're going to hurt the feelings of somebody. God's doctrine is a certain way that we must submit to. Our feelings don't come into play. God has made it very clear to us that we must pay close attention to what he's telling us. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the earth as the Word in the Old Testament, as Jesus Christ in the New Testament, to deliver to human beings the Father's doctrine, the Father's teachings. Jesus' teachings form the foundation of the doctrine of the early church. True doctrine is not a matter of personal opinion. My opinion does not matter. I, as a human being, have to come to the point that my ego goes out the door. Humility comes in. My opinion doesn't matter. True doctrine comes from the authority of God the Father and on to the Bible for us to learn from. True biblical doctrine never changes over time. It's always the same. Brethren, let's close today by striving to submit to Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3. I'd like to quote it for you once again, where Moses was saying to the ancient Israelites, let's say he's talking to you and talking to me, man, human beings, shall not live by bread alone, but human beings should live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.